Our next presenter is Dr. Amy Butler. Dr. Butler received her PhD in social work and sociology from the University of Michigan. She is currently an associate professor at the School of Social Work at the University of Iowa. Dr. Butler?
Thank you. Okay, my presentation is on sexual assault of girls, the socioeconomic risk factors. I have nothing to disclose. These are my research questions. Does socioeconomic background affect girls' vulnerability for sexual assault? And if yes, what are the pathways through which SES affects girls' risk for sexual assault? Now, I can answer the first question. I'm not doing too well on the second question, but I'll let you know what I've found. I come to this from a poverty perspective. I've studied poverty for years, and so initially I looked to see whether poverty was associated with sexual assault, and it wasn't. And somebody asked me, well, why are you just looking at poverty, non-poverty? Why cut it off there? And I thought, well, that's pretty obvious, but then I thought about it, and it wasn't so obvious. I really couldn't justify it. So I decided to look at the full income spectrum. Now, in fact, most of the reviews of the literature will say there's no relationship between family income, SES, and sexual assault. But if you look at the research, there's hardly anything there. There are four studies that I've been able to track down. Three of them find no association between SES and sexual assault. And one finds an inverse relationship for white youth, but not for black or Hispanic youth. So when you look at these studies and look to see how they actually are measuring socioeconomic status, you see there are a number of problems there. The Edgerton or Edgerton, I don't know how you pronounce her name, her measure is whether the primary earner was low skilled. Now that's a pretty crude measure. Ferguson and colleagues looked at SES at birth. This was a longitudinal study, and there are not many of those around, that the SES was measured with questions to the parents when the child was born. But even this was a fairly crude measure. Breadwinner, skilled or semi-skilled. Mother has no educational qualifications. And then Finkelhor looked at household income, less than $20,000, $50,000, or more than $50,000, and so did Crouch and colleagues. So some of the problems, the timing of the measure is a problem, because ideally, you would like to have a measure of income before the sexual assault took place, because it is possible that the sexual assault could disrupt the family and then cause maybe the breadwinner to end up in jail, or the mother to kick him out, or whatever. So it could affect family income. When actual dollar figures are examined, like with Finkelhor and Crouch, we ought to be, they use the same dollar cutoffs, except their studies were at different times, and there's no adjustment for inflation. So, a dollar 1 year is not worth the same dollar 10 years later. But maybe more important is that these dollar figures don't reflect how large the family is. So if it's two-person family living on $20,000, let's say, or $25,000, that's a lot different from six people living on $25,000. So ideally, you would adjust for family size. And then, as I mentioned before, there are too few categories to detect at what level SES might affect the risk of sexual assault. So I have data from a longitudinal study, the Panel Study of Income Dynamics, that has been gathering data on families since 1968, and then following those families every year, and then the offspring of those families, and then the offspring of the offspring. So The annual interviews were done with heads of households beginning before the child was born. So I have very good data on income, the family income and family size for every year. And then, and that's where I get my socioeconomic variables. Specifically, I'm looking at total family income divided by the poverty threshold for a family of that size. And I look at the first, initially, I look at the first 2 years of life. And also maternal education, years of education the mother completed the first when the child was born. And then my dependent variable, sexual assault. Have you ever been sexually assaulted or raped? These data are collected by, let me back up. So that there were these family interviews for based on the asked of the household head. But then starting in 1997, there were interviews of children. And then again in 2002 and again in 2007, when the girl turns 18, she's interviewed as a young adult with a different interview. So that's when I get the information on whether the girl has been sexually assaulted. And 94 out of 1,087 reported yes, they had been sexually assaulted. And then that question was followed up with how old were you when it first happened? Actually, 94 reported they had been sexually assaulted before age 18. So that's 9.5%. And then to try to explain a relationship between SES and sexual assault, I have several, I have a number of variables measured when the girl was younger, between 6 and 12 years of age. And I'm looking at those as possible explanations for how family income and mother's education could possibly influence years later whether the girl was sexually assaulted. So let me just show you the just the distributions of these two SES variables, and I look at them separately. Income needs between 0 and 2. And this is, I put it in six categories. Below the poverty threshold, between the poverty threshold and twice the poverty threshold, two times to three times the poverty threshold, three to four to five, and then five times and higher. And then maternal education. I can look at these as continuous variables, but I think it's more understandable when I look at it this way, those same results. And then maternal education. So we can see, let's go now to the relationship with sexual assault. So overall, 9.5% of the girls reported having been sexually assaulted before age 18. And here we see a trend here, and it's not what I expected initially. Girls in poverty, girls born into poverty were more likely to be sexually assaulted. Instead, it's girls born into incomes between all the way up to four times the poverty threshold. There's really no change in whether their rates of sexual assault. It's only after that point. And that's four times the poverty threshold for a family of four. Last year was about $94,000. So that's fairly affluent. And for a mother's education, the change comes at after high school. And by post-college, it's zero. Though I'm sure, let me move. Why am I not doing this right? Let me go this way. Okay, let me skip this slide unless I need to come back to it. Then I looked at, what I just showed you was SES at birth, but what about, it'd be more interesting perhaps to look at income the year before the sexual assault took place. And so I built an event history analysis file in which all girls, 4 years old was the first year that people girls reported having been sexually assaulted, all four-year-olds, and then all five-year-olds, excluding girls who had already been sexually assaulted, all six-year-olds, excluding girls who had already been sexually assaulted. So I have a sample of 15,311 person years, and the question is, does family income as a relative to the poverty threshold predict whether the girl is sexually assaulted the following year? And this is what I find, that these are categories, and all up through 500% of the poverty threshold. As you see, it doesn't change. Those are all compared to over 500%. So it's only over 500% where sexual assault, the risk is lower. That's the excluded category, so all the categories are different from 500 plus. Am I explaining it in a way that makes sense? Okay. So then the next question is, what are the pathways through which SES affects the risk of sexual assault? And this is part of a larger study I did that looked at the risks for sexual assault. And so I have, these are some of the characteristics of girls, either reported by the girls themselves or by their caregivers, measured when they were 6 to 12. And so in order to do this analysis, I have to drop 26 cases, girls who had been sexually assaulted before they reported these, before these data were collected. So I know I have before and after, you know, measures. So these are all variables that were associated with a subsequent sexual assault. But only some of them were also associated with income, with economic well-being. So internalizing behaviors, externalizing behaviors, impulsive behavior all predicted a sexual assault, but it did not explain at all the role of income. Whether both parents were present and whether the girl had intellectual difficulties, learning difficulties, whether she scored in the lowest 10% of reading and writing tests, and whether she had ever been referred to special education. Those helped explain the effect of income, family income divided by poverty threshold. But you see, not by much. These three variables explain the beta is reduced from 1.12 to 0.96. That's only a drop of 14%. So there's a lot left to be explained. And so that's the question I'm left with. Why is it? Is it that families who have income and are fairly affluent, are they better able to protect their girls? That I don't know. And that's the question I leave us all with. So if you're interested in some of these results, I reported in an article that just got published last month. So, okay, thank you.